Hello, everyone. Welcome to Janine Hasn't Seen. That's right, it's gone special and weird on us. And we're very, very excited about it, aren't we, Janine?
Are we, though?
I am.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
I'm very excited about it. It's all turned around. I have the power.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't it great? Therefore, Janine will be watching movies I want to watch this whole month.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you, exactly. In honour of Janine's birthday, we switched it up this month. We're doing Janine Hasn't Seen. Look at our nice new logo. Can you see it? You might be able to see it if you're listening to this. It's just changed to Janine instead, and I've moved down to the bottom left of the screen. That's what's happened on the logo.
Thank you for describing it.
Yes. I feel like the description was necessary for some reason. I don't think it was. Anyway, we are talking movies that Janine, of course, hasn't seen, but that I, in particular, want her to see.
Yes.
In the next 4 weeks. There's only 4 weeks
yes.
In August. Only 4 Wednesdays in August.
I'm going to hide my excitement that there's only 4 weeks in August that you get to
why
lord over me your choices.
Why do you hate my choices, Janine?
I don't hate your choices. I just feel like there's probably some pent up revenge built in there. Yeah. You're trying to get your comeuppance. You know how much I love comeuppance in movies. So
well, I wouldn't say I'm trying to get comeuppance. I'm just excited because, well, these movies, particularly this movie we're actually talking about today, is honestly one of my very, very favourite movies. And, like, nobody has ever seen this movie for some stupid reason, and I don't understand. Because well, I view it as a really, really popular movie.
Well, it's on Prime, so after, you know, check this out. Check out this movie and then go listen to this episode.
Exactly. I don't know why more people haven't seen this movie or come across this movie. I don't know why. Janine, what was the movie that I forced you to watch?
It was 1976's Bugsy Malone.
Yes.
Starring
Success.
Scott Baio.
Ignore that bit.
Jodie Foster. Yeah, let's just ignore Scott Baio as the title character.
Well, yeah, but because he's just a child. He hasn't turned quite into a terrible person yet. I don't know. Anyway, it is an all-child cast gangster musical.
Yes.
Which is obviously the best thing ever.
And it's so unique, so it's really surprising to me that, like, nobody knows about this movie.
Exactly. There's no movie like Bugsy Malone. It's a completely original idea. So it's not one of these musicals that's pulled from Broadway or pulled from the West End or anything like that. It is a completely original idea. The director recently did pass away, so it's kind of fitting that we're doing this movie. Sir Alan Parker, recently passed away, British director. But yeah, it's a movie like no other, because in never does it take itself seriously. But yet it is completely legit as a story, filled with wonderful songs.
And
cream pies and custard pies and splurge guns and all that kind of wonderful stuff. Because you don't have bullets. I know it's a gangster movie, but you don't have bullets and blood. You have custard pies and splurge guns.
And freeze frames.
A lot of freeze frames, actually. A lot of freeze frames. But, Janine, before we, of course, get into the main episode meat, as I like to say, or the main episode splurge. It's patron day.
It is. Woohoo.
Patreon shout out day is very fun. Woo. Yay. It's nice patron day, isn't it, Janine? We enjoy patron day.
Very much so.
Well, then, without any further ado, I suppose you have to say, let's start with the patron thank yous and say thank you to JJ Winwood.
Thank you, Ferris Muthana.
And thank you to Janine's brother Justin, 90s Comics Box.
Thank you, Travis Mickey.
Thank you, Video Drew.
Thank you, Adelaide Spence.
Thank you, Corey Morissette.
Thank you to the Spider, a Robert Parker.
Thank you, Brianne Chandler.
Thank you, John Mariano.
Thank you, Nick Gilmore.
Thank you to my girl Tina, Christina Farrow.
Thank you, Heather Sabian.
Thank you to my other girl, Abby Friel.
Thank you to Megan McCurley.
Thank you, Adelia Chamberlain.
Thank you to Nicole Pereira.
Thank you, Dwayne Burke.
Thank you, Marcus Burton.
Thank you to Movie Fanobi Steve.
Thank you, Jake Yakavetta.
Thank you, Samir Tesfai.
Thank you, Patrick Harden.
Thank you, Oscar Romo.
Thank you to Carla Fies.
Thank you, Adam Collins.
Thank you, Delisha Renee.
Thank you, LK.
And thank you, Gigi.
And thank you, Randall Sands.
Thank you to the great Ken Knapsack.
And thank you, Jeff Knutson.
And thank you, Brandon Hanna.
And thank you, Tom and Kimber of Odd Shape Channel.
Thank you to Eric Garcia.
And a big thank you to the best hype man in the biz, Billy Paulihan.
Yay!
We love patrons.
Patron day. Patron day. Woo, woo. Patron day. Woo, woo. Janine, talk about Bugsy Malone, because I'm very excited.
Okay. Well, since I usually give the synopses of the movies I choose,
yeah,
let's have you give the synopses of the movie that you chose.
You don't need to know any more about this movie other than it's an all-child cast gangster musical.
That's it? That's all they need to know? Okay, I guess
set
we can
go
home.
Set in the 20s.
Okay, bye,
set
everybody.
Set in 1920s New York. That's all you need. That's all you need. That's all you should need to know to be intrigued by this movie.
Well, we need a synopsis. You said that the story was a great, unique story. So let's hear about this story.
I said the idea was a great, unique story. I said the story was legit.
Okay, well, let's hear this legit story. Stop being
there's
so
a gang
stingy.
War going on. There's a gang war going on between Fat Sam and Dandy Dan. They don't like each other. Dandy Dan's very rich and wealthy, and he's got his mansion. Obviously, he's got a drawn-on mustache as well, because he's played by a 10-year-old. Fat Sam's also played by, like, an 11-year-old. Fat Sam's got his speakeasy. Fat Sam's Grand Slam. Everybody loves it. Everybody sings along. It's going to take everything in me to not sing all the songs during the course of this episode. But you know how I am with semi-public singing. Don't like it. Don't like it that much. Basically, there's just a gang war going on, as though it was a regular run-of-the-mill mobster movie. They're trying to one-up each other. Bugsy Malone himself is kind of the I don't want to call him a drifter, but he's kind of on his own terms, and he'll just work here and there for whoever, and he just gets kind of involved with Fat Sam. There's a romantic lead in Blousy for Bugsy. Blousy's an aspiring singer who's got an audition at Fat Sam's Grand Slam. There's Tallulah, who's Jodie Foster, who's Fat Sam's girlfriend slash lead singer slash not really girlfriend slash one of those things that you get in mob movies.
And like the star of the speakeasy.
And the star of the speakeasy, exactly. And then it's Dandy Dan trying to take over Fat Sam's empire. And how do we get revenge on him for doing that? Because he's got this new weapon, the splurge gun.
That was amazing. Thank you for that breakdown.
I mean, how are you not entirely intrigued by this movie?
I mean, I don't get it. going into this, I was kind of just like, what? What is this? What is this? Like, seriously, tell me, what is this? Like, how have I not even heard any kind of inkling of anything about this movie at all? It was nominated for Golden Globes for Best Comedy Musical. And it was Oscar nominated for the music, which actually the music was really great. It was really legit.
Rightly so. Oscar nominated for the music. I have honestly never come across a music. And I know, obviously, I love many, many musicals. And you love many, many musicals, Janine. I have never come across a musical in my life with as catchy songs as Bugsy Malone.
They are super catchy. And it's like the lyrics are actually really good. It's very timely. Like, all the songs fit the time period really well. They fit the characters really well. You know, the whole cast is kids, but the songs are sung by adults. So it's them
one adult.
So it's just them kind of, you know, lip syncing to these songs.
Yeah.
Which it's I think hilarious. Adds to a bit of the comedy of it. Like it the Tomorrow song. Oh my gosh.
Well, it's always hilarious to me that, well, it's basically they've got one male singer and one female singer who do all the actual singing.
Yeah.
Who do all the singing voices for everybody. I think it's, and I do think it's everybody as well. I might be wrong. There might be one that's actually sung by that person, and it might, no, that's not going to be right, is it?
I want to say that little girl who, like, when Blousey's about to do her audition, and then that girl bursts in, and she's like, I'm the star.
Oh, that doesn't count. That's terrible. That doesn't count as an actual song in this movie. Nobody likes that. She's the worst. The diva. The real, real diva girl who bursts into the theatre as soon as Blousey's
about to open her mouth to sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sing her audition. And the talent show guy. It feels like a talent show, doesn't it? Probably because they're all children. the stage director, I want to say, who's also obviously got a drawn-on mustache. He's just not interested in anybody. And then clearly this very, very diva-ish, high-pitched, squealy girl comes in, who's been the star of his show.
Takes over.
I'm giving you one last chance. One last chance. You hear me? One last chance. Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm so grateful for you. Sure, she's terrible. She's terrible. I don't like her at all.
You bullying these children.
We have to bully the children. It's Bugsy Malone. They're all children. Who are we going to bully if it's not children?
Well, I just think it's a very unique concept for sure. I read some trivia that the director was driving with his kids and he was kind of bored in the car. And so he like made up the story and he told it to his kids, and his kids kind of asked him, well, why can't the kids be the heroes of the story? And so that's when he decided, okay, well, let's just do this whole movie with kids. And I thought it was just a really fun idea. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before. Just super unique, and like the kids like did a really good job, and like I think when they did kind of flub up a little bit, that like felt like it was kind of supposed to be there, so it added to kind of the comedy aspects of it, all the kind of little dance set pieces and all of that stuff, especially with the dubbing that just kind of added some comedic effect as well.
You gotta love dubbing. I love dubbing when it's done like half well.
Yeah.
Like I hate dubbing when it's done badly. But like when it's done half well, you can see, oh, they've tried. They've tried. But it still sounds weird. Yes. But they've tried.
But the weirdness adds to the comedy of it.
Yes. It's like in the spaghetti western movies when the guys that are obviously speaking like their native Italian or Spanish or something are overdubbed in English.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of hilarious because they've tried, but that isn't what that man's saying.
Obviously not.
It's fun. It's fun. I do like the dubbing though, but obviously it's the songs themselves take you out of the fact that they're dubbed at all because the songs are just too great.
They're really good. Well, how did you even discover this movie, Morgan? Why because did you want to share it with me?
I was in a stage production of this movie as a child. Obviously, I was a child because it has to be children. I think that's why this movie, to be honest, doesn't get talked about as much and probably hasn't had as big a theatre presence as it should have done, because Bugsy Malone isn't Bugsy Malone without children. You can't have adults in this movie, otherwise it doesn't work. It's not the same movie. It's any boring movie if it's adults. It has to be children, which is probably obviously makes it a little bit more difficult. But yeah, I was in a stage production of this movie as a child.
So after that, you just like decided to go find this movie and watch it.
Obviously during that process, we watched the movie.
Okay.
And the songs, I know all the lyrics to the songs because they're just so catchy, and I will sing them randomly at random points in my life. Regardless of if I've seen Bugsy Malone in months or not. It will just, for some reason, I will just start singing Fat Sam's Grand Slam.
Well,
just about the street.
Well, I did find myself just kind of, like, head bobbing to a lot of the songs without even realizing it. So yeah, the songs are super catchy and fun and well written because, yeah, like, the lyrics are actually kind of smart and fitting. You know, and you'd think with something like this, that's not this huge kind of production, that, you know, they could just get away with like repetitive lyrics and call it a day and just like a big hook, which a lot of the songs do have that kind of hook that's going to get them stuck in your head. But there's actually kind of some smart, like thoughtful lyrics in there. Like I think in the Down and Out song, I liked, you know, they like, there's a line about, Lady Luck being fickle because ladies, you know, are allowed to change their mind. Like, I thought that was like a smart line, and there were a lot of things like that that I picked up on. So yeah, definitely the music was a huge part of why I really enjoyed this movie. And surprisingly, I was kind of just like, what is he showing me? Like, this is so weird. This is gonna be weird. Scott Baio. Like,
but yes, I mean, oh yes, Scott Baio. Let's ignore the fact that he's in the movie. Let's just ignore the fact that it's him.
I can't do that. But it's child Scott Baio, so...
It is. I mean, look, nobody's pretending the acting in this movie is stellar. I mean, look, Jodie Foster's in it, so...
Yeah.
There's some quality there.
Yeah.
1976 Taxi Driver era Jodie Foster is in the movie. So there is still quality there. And I happen to think that John Cassese, who plays Fat Sam, is just giving it his all.
Yes, and he was just like some kid. Like, the director said he just went to a Brooklyn classroom and asked all the kids, like, who's the worst behaved kid in the class? And it was him. And so they cast him out off of that. So he wasn't like an actor or anything. He was just a troublemaking kid. And that's what made him cast him. And he did a great job. He did a really great job.
I mean, it's children, so it's not going to be, like, phenomenal acting.
No, and that's also, like, what makes it funny. Because, yeah, they're, like, doing adult things, but they're kids, and so that just adds so much to what made me kind of laugh about things, and, like, the pedal cars, and, like...
Yes, it's one of my favorite things. I mean, I could say it's my favourite thing about many, many things in this movie.
Yes.
But the fact that they're obviously all driving cars, but they're pedal cars because you can't have children driving actual cars.
And the way they worked around things because they were kids were really great. Like, yeah, he like tells a guy, tells his driver, drive on, and like they like make a point to show you the pedals and him like pedaling away. But the whole thing, you have like these Godfather level shootouts, and
right,
all of the like bullets are like custard and cream pies that they're shooting at, and then like Splurge. When somebody gets shot with like this custard, like it's like a freeze frame, like they died.
It is. That's exactly what it is. And it's treated as though the person who's been splurged has died.
Yes.
It's very much treated like that. Like, there's some really clever kind of shots in this movie as well, weirdly. And sort of, like, scenes and the way some scenes sort of play out.
Yeah.
That are taken from, like, other mob movies.
Yes.
That I really like. Of like the, obviously towards the end of the Godfather, one of the big, you know, in the whole big montage of deaths and the baptism and all that kind of stuff. One of the deaths is obviously that guy who's getting a massage, who gets turned around and gets shot in the eye through his glasses.
Yes.
Now this movie has a scene where the one guy in a barber shop. And the same thing happens to him, but it's obviously he just gets splurged in the face by a load of custard.
Yes. So all that kind of stuff was really hilarious. So yeah, you did have like this mob style montage of these like quote unquote killings, but it was all done with like custard and cream pies to the face and stuff like that.
You've got the like the police as well, the police chief trying to figure out where the splurge guns have come from.
Yeah.
And trying to do that sort of stuff. I mean, that doesn't go anywhere, because that's not the point of the movie. There's no real sort of point to this movie other than, oh, we're all friends.
Yes, well, even at the end of the movie, like, how it just ends is just, like, a bunch of kids kind of having fun. But, yeah, like, even the opening scene, like, you get, like, four guys with these big machine guns cornering a guy in an alley. And, like, so when I'm, like, seeing this, I'm just like, what is going to happen? And then they shoot him up, and it's, like, all this custard. And I'm just like, okay. And then they play the Bugsy Malone theme song.
Yes.
And, like, I am pleasantly surprised about what I'm going to be in for with this movie, so...
Did you enjoy the Bugsy Malone theme song?
I mean, it was a little silly and like schwanky.
It's very schwanky, very 20s New York.
Yes.
Very, very much so.
So I wouldn't say it was my favorite song.
No, I don't think it's anybody's favorite song. It's just the first song.
Set the mood, and then, like, you know, you go through the opening credits and you get these kinds of freeze montages of Bugsy Malone going through the town and charming the ladies and, like, all these different things and pissing off the ladies and, you know.
Yes.
Meeting with the guys and, like, yeah.
I love that it never feels like a cheap movie.
No.
You know what I mean?
You see, like, that there was a lot of effort.
Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The costumes are great. The makeup's great.
Yes.
And that kind of stuff. And obviously all the splurge effects and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just fun. It just works really well. And it makes it feel, like I said, like a legit story. Like, when people die because they've been splurged, like, you feel it.
Yeah.
Like, that one scene where, obviously, Fat Sam's worried because Dan's got all these splurge guns. Fat Sam doesn't know where to get the splurge guns, so he tries making his own. So he gets his guy, Knuckles, to try and wind up a splurge gun of his own making.
Yes, that just blows up in his face. And he's just laying there dead, like, covered in cream. And he's like, hey, Knuckles... Knuckles, he's just laying there still, like, just covered in cream, like he just exploded and died, but it's, like,
and
all
it gets
custard.
Really sad. He gets really sad, because Fat Sam's really sad to lose Knuckles.
Yes.
And then we don't see Knuckles again.
No, so obviously he did die.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But yes. What did you make of the of Fat Sam's Grand Slam then? The whole speakeasy in general?
I thought that was a fun scene. Because, like, you see, like, a cigarette girl and, like, people drinking. But they're all kids. And so it's just, like, kind of fun. And, like, I pictured myself, like, as a kid, like, thinking about how fun it would be to kind of, like, play all this stuff out. Because, like, the whole thing felt like a kid imagining, you know, playing, you know, make-believe. So I definitely, like, felt some nostalgia of, like, doing things like that and wishing I was there, because it just looked like such a fun thing to do and make, and like, oh, I'm a grown up, I'm drinking cocktails at the speakeasy. Like, so it kind of just took me back to, you know, playing dress up and make believe and like wanting to be there. And yeah, the songs were definitely really fun. The main
Fat Sam's Grand Slam song.
Yes.
It's a great song. It is perhaps my favourite song in the movie.
Okay.
I love how it kicks in. I love how it kicks in. And I love that the one kid on the piano.
Yeah.
Who, like, he kicks in quite a few of the songs throughout the movie. Because it starts by going into Fat Sam's and him playing his first note on the piano.
Yeah.
And a song starts. But yeah. I love the kick into Fat Sam's Grand Slam because it's so quick, and then you're just like, oh, I'm into it now. This is great.
Yes. And you got background singers and you got dancers going and like this whole kind of choreographed routine happening, and tap dancing and all that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Do you remember any of the songs like word for word yet, or no, do you need not to watch the movie more and more to be able to get to that stage?
I actually saved the soundtrack to my phone, so
yes.
I do like the My Name is Tallulah song, and I did like this song that Blousey sings when she finally gets to do her audition for Fat Sam. So those two are probably my favorites.
That's a good song.
I do what like about Down Blousey's? And Out. I do like Down and Out as well.
Down and Out's like a low-key song. Like, it comes, like, towards the end, and yeah, you don't remember it actually being there, but when it shows up, you're like, oh, yeah, Down and Out's in this movie as well. Yeah. Like once you get past So You Wanna Be a Boxer, you forget there's another song in the movie.
Yeah.
And there is. It's fun. Fat Sam's Grand Slam. I love it. I'm sorry, I
was waiting for it.
I can't do it justice now. Sorry. I can't do it justice now. I just love it. But can you see why I love this movie so much? You knowing me, can you see why I love this movie so much?
Well, you do have a thing of not wanting to like things that are popular just out of stubbornness. So, I mean, that alone would be a reason why you would love this movie, just because no one's ever heard of it. So you get to be alone on your little Bugsy Malone mountaintop and sing these songs like Julie Andrews Sound of Music, just spinning on a hilltop singing Fat Sam's Grand Slam to yourself, because you're the only one who knows what this movie is.
I'm not going to lie, there has been many a times I've sung My Name is Tallulah in the shower.
Okay.
It's a good shower song.
Yeah.
Because it's a solo. I'm not going to be ashamed of it.
Did you pull out the moves where she's walking
obviously
around the club?
Yeah. Obviously. Obviously, I'm, you know, trying to flirt with all the 10-year-old boys, because that's what's happening in this movie. I'm not actually going to do that. Calm down. Good lord.
I actually liked the choreography of the Bad Guys song.
Oh, it's the best. That is the best song. It is the best song.
It's really fun. That's,
I mean, every song is the best song, so I'm just going to say every song is the best song.
Yeah, you've said that about
every
song. Because
Fat Sam's is
mentioned.
The best song. Name is Tallulah is the best song. Bad Guys is the best song. Or if it's actually called... No, it's not going to be called We Could Have Been Anything.
No, it's Bad Guys.
I think it's called Bad Guys.
Yeah.
But obviously that comes back in the finale.
Yeah.
As the big, big finale song. Where it's turned over to be Good Guys.
Yeah.
Because everybody gets along now. I love how the movie ends. I mean, look, if you're bothered about, oh, they don't spoil the movie. It's a stupid movie. I can spoil this movie.
Yes.
You know, it's not it's not interested in being the dramatic story.
No, it's not.
They all, there's just basically a big shootout at Fat Sam's at the end.
Yes.
Because it's been all building to Dan storming Fat Sam's because he's taken down Fat Sam's entire empire, and now he's coming for the speakeasy as well as the last straw.
Yeah.
And Fat Sam's obviously worried, so Fat Sam wants to try and defend
his
the speakeasy as much
yeah.
as possible. So as soon as they walk in, splurge guns go absolutely everywhere, on everything, in everybody's faces.
Yes.
And it's the loudest, most freeze-framey, most nonsense custard pie-filled food fight you're ever going to see.
Yeah, so then at the end, like, everybody's just laughing and throwing pie in each other's face. And
yeah.
Huge food fight, essentially, at the end.
It's as soon as the piano gets hit, and again, it's the same kid on the piano.
Yes.
As soon as the piano gets hit, everybody just goes, ooh.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh. And then he just comes in with his ding 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 ding. We could have been anything that we wanted to be. And it's not too late to change. I'd be delighted to give it some thought. Maybe you'll agree that we really ought to. Before. And then it goes on to the song. And everybody gets on with each other.
Beautiful.
Because all it takes is one little piano note and a few lines from that kid.
Yes.
And everybody's like, oh, let's
yes.
just have fun. It's great.
But yes, I think this movie definitely taps into that childhood imagination side of things. And you don't take it too seriously, obviously, because they're kids. So, like, when the line delivery is a bit stiff and, like, all the dubbing, you kind of just resign yourself to, the fact that it's probably kind of supposed to be like that. It's not
yeah.
supposed to be this perfect, well-acted, Shakespearean masterpiece. I think it's just supposed to be this fun story, told with all kids, because like he just heard his kids out, like why can't the kids be the heroes of the story? And he was like, that's kind of a good unique idea. So yeah, it is kind of a bummer that like nobody even has heard of this movie, because it's such a unique concept to just play out like an adult story but with all kids, and to like kind of work around those kid things with other things that just make it funnier. And just have some great music in there. There was effort and care put into this movie. Everything looks great. The music is great. Like you said, the makeup, the hair, all of that, the costumes, everything is great. And you feel there's effort there. But the fact that it's just kind of all kids and they're kind of just, and the story is just kind of, not so tight, I think that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it unique, because you're not trying to see it as this serious thing, even though
no.
if it was done with adults, it would be like this very intense Godfather type story.
Obviously, yeah, because it'd just be like any other mob movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably still do a musical, but then the inherent nature of a musical is take some level of it doesn't take drama away, does it, but it takes realism away.
Yes.
And I think mob movies are better when they're real
dark and
yeah. when they are very, very realistic. Look at something like Goodfellas, that's very, very real as a mob movie is probably gonna get.
Yeah.
It's and that's why it's obviously one of the best mob movies. This is not interested in being a good mob movie. It's interested in having fun with, having, you know, a fun time making a movie with children.
Yeah.
And in just set it in the most unchildlike format possible of a mob movie.
Yeah.
I know you said you liked the dancing in the bad guys sequence. What was it about the dancing in the bad guys sequence that you loved so much?
I mean, most of the dancing up to that point felt like, you know, kids that actually had some dance training and knew how to dance.
Yeah, so like in the Tomorrow song.
Yes. So it felt like, and even in the Fat Sam song, it felt like there was, you know, a professional level of, you know, performance there. But when the guys were doing the bad guy song, it just felt kind of silly and goofy. Some of the movements were just like, you know, some of those kind of moves of the time, but just also some kind of silly things that felt a little bit modern. It was just very silly, these kids, like, trying to dance. It felt like they didn't really have any kind of formal training, which I guess if you think about it from, like, a bunch of, like, gangster bad guys, they're not going to have any formal dance training.
No, as opposed to the actual dancers.
Yes, in the story. Yeah. So it just felt very funny and silly, these gangster guys singing about bad guys and doing these silly dance moves.
Do you not love how you can absolutely pretty much see the choreographer off screen?
Like, probably just doing the moves at them.
Yeah, just, come on, guys, come on. Remember, it's this.
Yeah.
It's this. Because they look so focused on doing the moves correctly.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I love it. It is the stupidest movie. It is the stupidest movie, and I love every single second of it.
Yeah, like, just, like I said, like, the way they work around things for the kids, like, there's supposed to be this whole, moment where, you know, Bugsy, he has this thing going on with Blousy, but then Tallulah tries to seduce him, and they're, like, about to kiss, but she kisses him on the forehead because they're kids.
Yeah, because it's kids.
Yes. And then, like, Blousy comes in and she sees, like, a kiss mark on his forehead, and it's, like, this whole silly thing.
I mean, I don't know. Jodie Foster's giving him the moves.
Oh, yeah.
Jodie Foster gives everybody the moves in this movie.
Yeah.
She's very much... I mean, she's obviously... You can clearly tell she's the one that's going to go on and have the career she's had.
Yeah, well, the director even, I saw some trivia where the director said that had something happened to him, he felt like Jodie Foster could take over directing the movie.
Which Jodie Foster is head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yes, so that's just a testament to, you know, her later becoming a director in her own right. So,
well, yes, that's true. It's true. She's still doing good stuff, Jodie Foster. She's still doing good stuff. Yeah. I always like Jodie Foster in things.
Me too.
Mainly because, obviously, the first time I ever saw her was in this movie, so I have a fondness for Jodie Foster and seeing her in movies.
Yeah. So aside from Scott Baio and her, like, yeah, nobody else really hasn't much.
No, I don't think so. No, I really don't think so. It's weird. But anyway, you get the whole midpoint of the movie when, you know, the Dan taking over Fat Sam's empire starts, and you get to meet Dan, Dandy Dan, which is obviously a silly name.
Yes.
But what did you make of him? Did you like him as the antagonist?
Yeah, I mean, he was really good with his, like, fancy suits. I loved that whole scene where he had all his kind of henchmen lined up, and one of them he knew to be a snitch. And so, like, he kind of pulls him out from everyone else, and they all kind of gang up on him, and he's, like, trying to hide, and he's, like, this goofy-looking guy with glasses. And, like, you've seen this scene time and time again in, like, movies, you know, mob-type movies, where, you know, the boss is, like, you know, picks out the rat in his crew and, like, teaches him a lesson.
Yeah, like, it feels like such a legit mob movie
scene. It does. And, like, the guy's, like, sweating and freaking out, and then they all kind of, you know, come at him, and then he completely gets splurged on because
he does. He gets splurged.
He's a backstabber. So yeah, I really loved that scene and just kind of a great kind of introduction and setup to that character.
Yeah. I like Dan. I was one of Dan's guys in the stage production that I starred in.
Oh.
I was also obviously in all the musical numbers and all that kind of stuff because there wasn't many people, so we all had to do the musical numbers and things like that. Yes.
And you said a girl played Bugsy Malone, right?
Yes, but that's because basically there was no guys of age and talent. There was no guys.
So did you like want to do this production, or did they like really just kind of make it because it was like the thing of the class or whatever?
No, it was a drama school. It was like a stage school.
Oh. Okay.
That I went to on a Saturday. Like, it was out of school.
Oh, okay.
Out of regular school. And yeah, that was the first one that I was ever a part of with them.
Okay.
I really did a few. I didn't do many. I was only there for like 2-3 years, but
okay.
That was the first one.
How old were you?
7, 8, something like that. So I was quite young.
Is there video footage of
this? There is video footage. There is legitimate owned DVDs of these productions.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
that were produced by the organization.
Okay. Well, next time
no,
I see you, you're
we're not
bringing
watching
that.
It.
You're bringing
we're not
that
watching
with you,
it.
And we're watching it.
I can't because it's obviously a region only, this region DVD, isn't it? So.
Wow. Oh, darn.
Can't be
okay,
doing that.
Well, then next time I come there, I mean.
Oh, well, yes, you know.
I'm going to bring it up in front of
not,
your dad, and then he'll definitely be like, oh,
we're not,
okay.
We're not putting that on. We're not putting it on.
We are. I'm saying it in front of your dad, and he'll. Your dad likes
he won't.
Me. He'll do it.
He doesn't. he doesn't like you that much for that.
Wow.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I think I do actually own the little plastic splurge gun still.
Seriously?
That I used in it.
Oh my gosh.
I like that. I don't know where that is, but I'm sure I still have it somewhere.
You have to find it.
Silliness. No, I had a lot of fun doing that, and it's just this movie holds such a big place in my heart, which is why I'm thankful that I could force you to watch it for Janine hasn't seen it. And I know we were supposed to be doing The Haunted Palace this week, but we had to postpone doing that.
Yes, because I can't find it anywhere. It's crazy.
So you had to actually buy the movie.
I did. I bought the DVD, so...
So we had to postpone doing that. So that should be next week's episode of
yes.
Janine Hasn't Seen. So we just thought, well, I was going to do this one anyway, so let's just move it up to the start.
Yes, well,
let's
thank you.
Let's just move it up to the start.
Thank you for sharing this movie with me. Like, I had no concept or idea of this movie at all. I've heard you kind of talk about it here and there, but I was like, what is
it? It's the greatest movie of all time. That's what it is.
And it felt to me just kind of like, you know, I think kids are an underrepresented group of people in, you know, movies. They're kind of relegated to specific things. So, you know, and they're never kind of the star of things, like just all kids. So I liked that, you know, they were the stars of the story. They were the characters that we're following. And yeah, like I said, that just kind of gave me that nostalgic vibe of being a kid and, you know, imagining, you know, things and playing make-believe and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So definitely took me back to kind of those feelings and moments of a kid, just kind of having fun and dressing up and pretending you were somebody else. And yeah, just looked like a lot of fun.
Did you like the little subplot with Leroy?
Oh, yeah.
I like Leroy. Leroy's a very fun character in this movie. About halfway through the movie, because Bugsy's done a job for Fat Sam, he gets like $200, which can pay for him and Blousy to go to Hollywood, which is what Blousy wants to do.
Yes.
Then he gets jumped by a few guys who steal his money, but then Leroy comes in and beats them up for him. And Bugsy just goes, oh.
You could be a boxer.
You could be a boxer. Let's take you to the boxing gym.
And then there's so a whole boxing song.
There is a whole boxing song. So You Wanna Be a Boxer. Which is, again, the best song in the movie. Oh, like all songs are the best song in the movie.
Yes.
I love So You Wanna Be a Boxer. It's great. Can you imagine the choreography that I personally had to do to the song So You Wanna Be a Boxer?
Well,
it was
see
very,
point,
very boxing based.
I will see that at some point when I, you know, tie you to a chair and watch this footage.
No, you won't. No, you won't. No, it was very fun. It was very fun. I love So You Wanna Be a Boxer. It's a great song. I love the little interlude bits where it gets a bit quicker.
Yeah.
Because you have Casey Joe who's singing the actual song. And obviously it's not Casey Joe, is it? It's the same guy in the background who's been singing all the songs.
Yeah.
But it's Casey Joe. And then you have the little interlude, the quick little interludes of put him in the ring, Joe, something new to punch. Let me take a swing, Joe, then we'll go to lunch. Let's show him the ropes and destroy his hopes.
Like, see, it's harsh. So good. Those lyrics are so good. Like, there was
it's
some
harsh.
Real thought put into them.
There was. The music is great, and that's why it was nominated for an Oscar, Jeanette.
It was. Like, I still saw that, I was like, what?
That is why it was nominated for an Oscar. Everybody should be aware of Bugsy Malone and the quality of it, specifically the songs and the music. I love the last bit of So You Wanna Be a Boxer, which is that one huge guy with the really deep voice.
Oh, yeah. Who then subsequently gets knocked the fuck out.
By Leroy, yes it
and
is. By little fat little Leroy.
And then
he's like... 3'6" and can't really move that well, but he's got a punch on him.
And then he just knocks the guy out and he's just laying there dead, face down. Like, not moving instantly.
But that's all you get of the boxing. That's the boxing
that's
over
it.
And done with after
yeah.
that. No
then
more
they go
boxing.
Back to the regular story.
I'd like to think Leroy had a successful career in boxing.
I would hope so after he beat up that guy with one punch.
I really would. Leroy was the Mike Tyson of his day.
He was.
I really think he was. There was before Tyson, there was Muhammad Ali. Before Muhammad Ali, there was Leroy Smith. That's what happened. I don't know. Silliness. But obviously, Leroy's a big part of getting Fat Sam enough men to defend the speakeasy in the end, because he helps, he helps Bugsy sort of get rid of a bunch of Dan's guards so they can nullify that side of things.
Yeah.
And he helps Bugsy recruit all those down and out people who were in the whatever the hell that room is. The 1920s version of a homeless shelter?
I guess. Yeah, like the boy's home or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we got a great excuse for a boxing song, so.
We did. I
appreciate
like
Leroy's journey.
Appreciate Leroy's journey. We all love Leroy. I especially love Leroy when he starts pretending to be Tallulah. When they're stealing the splurge guns back, when they've got rid of all those guards and they've gone into the place to steal the splurge guns because they're all like wrapped in like straw.
Oh yeah.
So Leroy just decides to put some straw on his head and as a wig and pretend he's Tallulah. He's never met Tallulah.
No.
Not that we see. He's certainly never heard him, never heard her sing the song that we see, but he just sings it anyway.
Yes.
He just starts singing the song and has to be told to stop messing around.
But it works, but it works.
I love it. It's great. And then obviously, yeah, it's the finale there that we've already kind of talked about. Yeah. Do you know what I find funny?
What?
You know the piano kid, who I call Piano Kid? Who's the really talented, actual, really talented piano player.
Yeah.
Who's clearly, actually playing the piano. His name's Michael Jackson.
Seriously? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That poor kid. Just
Could you imagine if it was Michael Jackson?
Can you imagine Scott Baio, Jodie Foster, and Michael Jackson Bugsy Malone?
Oh, no.
Oh, goodness me.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I love it. I also do, I know we haven't talked too much about the Tomorrow song that's actually quite early on in the movie.
Yes.
But I love that kid as well. He's great.
Just that dubbing is so funny.
I mean, it kind of is, especially on the close-up.
Yes, it obviously does not fit, and, his facial expressions are just kind of so bland and not fitting, and then he hits this weird high note, and, even the face he makes on that is just cracks me up, but, yeah.
It's because he's not making any noise.
Yeah.
You know, you have muscles that sort of tense up in your throat when you're actually
pushing them for vocalizing. A high note or something. Yeah.
And it's just he's just flat, sort of opening his mouth and moving his head.
Yeah.
That's and all he's doing. And
around.
You can tell that's all he's doing.
Yes.
Great. But that kid's got to be about 8.
Yeah.
That but is think, a young kid.
I think they said, the age range was, 11 to 16. So I don't think there was anybody younger than 11, I want to say, it said.
I mean, it makes sense. He's a young 11 then, that kid.
Yeah.
He's a very, very young 11. But that's what I mean. You've never seen a movie that's all child cast.
Yes. And they're meant to kind of be the adult in the story, but
exactly.
They're kids. And just great music. Just such a unique idea. And I'm a huge fan of just original, unique things. Because we live in this whole kind of sea of regurgitated ideas and reboots and sequels and all of that. So while some of those can be great, when there's something purely original and there was some thought and care put into it, I have so much respect for that. So definitely really enjoyed this film, and I want more people to see it because it's such a cool idea. And the music is really good. If you're a musicals person, you need to watch this movie.
I think if you're a musicals person, you probably will have watched this movie. Or at least I would hope so. If you're a musicals person who hasn't watched this movie, then just get on it. Because
yeah,
it is honestly, it is one of my absolute favourite movies of all time. It never fails to put a smile on my face. And I just want that for everybody else. And I'm so glad that you've watched it now, Janine.
Yes.
And I know you like original things and very, very unique things. And that's just another reason why I wanted you to see it. Not just because it happens to be one of my favorite movies.
Well, thank you so much for sharing it with me for the first installment of Janine Hasn't Seen.
Yeah, I think Janine Hasn't Seen is going to be great. I'm looking forward to the other movies as well. There's a few movies on the cards. Janine is very, very not willing to sit through 2 movies about French farmers, and I'm very disappointed about that.
I'm sorry.
Because it's another great movie.
I mean, I just can't do it. But if that's what you choose, I'll watch it.
However, there is quite a number of inside jokes between myself and other people who aren't present in regards to those movies. So it probably wouldn't work. Probably wouldn't work. They're still very good movies. Jean de Florette, of course. Gerard Depardieu's in it. And Yves Montand.
Okay.
And other French people. It's good. It's good. But it's not as good as Bugsy Malone. It's not. Few things are as good as Bugsy Malone.
I highly doubt that. But
do you have any final thoughts on this movie, Janine?
Just such a unique on idea.
Favorite scenes, favorite people, favorite. What's your favorite song? What was your favorite song?
My favorite song was probably the "My Name Is Tallulah" song.
Yes. Love it. Yes. Please sing it in the shower every day.
I will.
Like I do.
It's happening.
I love it. It's great.
And I did there like the go. I did like the barbershop scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go. I think that's going to do it for the first installment of Janine Hasn't Seen. However, it's like episode 73 or something like that of Morgan Hasn't Seen. It's still the same show.
Yes.
We're just switching it up for this month, that's all. It's fun. We like doing it.
We do.
Yay! Happy birthday month, Janine.
Oh, thank you, Morgan. I expect you to say that every week.
I'm glad that it started off so successfully.
Yes.
Bugsy Malone. Everybody loves that man. Bugsy Malone, Janine. They do.
Yes.
They do. Do you wanna I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm just so excited. Janine, is it time for plugging away the various things?
It is time for plugging away because Janine Hasn't Seen is not the only show you can find on this feed. You can also find Machine Mondays every Monday with me, Janine the Machine, a short format podcast just talking about all the things Schmodown. And we've got a singles tournament coming up, so I will be talking about all those matches, maybe playing along with those matches for our patrons. So look for that. But yeah, every Monday, Machine Mondays, of course, Janine Hasn't Seen / Morgan Hasn't Seen, usually, every Wednesday, where, you know, I force Morgan to watch things he hasn't seen, a related series of films, a franchise of films, and we discuss. But of course, as you know, this month, it is Janine Hasn't Seen, so Morgan is doing that to me.
Yes.
So look for that on Wednesdays. And of course, the flagship show of our feed, It's a Wonderful Podcast, where we give love to those classic films. Nolan and Morgan will be hosting this week on Friday, talking about I don't know what, but it should be fun.
we're actually talking about a Kurosawa movie this week.
Okay.
We're actually talking, and that's what Nolan wanted to do. It was Nolan's choice. Okay. Obviously, I'm always there on It's a Wonderful Podcast, the main show, and Janine and Nolan alternate weeks between themselves, don't you?
Yes.
You do.
We do.
You do. It's always fun. We've got you covered Monday, Wednesday, Friday here on It's a Wonderful Podcast. We also have the Patreon.
We do.
Patreon.com/ It's a Wonderful One, or just It's a Wonderful Podcast on Patreon. Whole bunch of stuff going on there. This past week was so exciting to bring on the patrons to the live stream itself.
Yes.
That was fun. I enjoyed doing that. But we have those live streams every week. We have little videos. We have bonus content. We have polls and artwork and insights into things and various other things. It's great.
Yes.
So much stuff going on the Patreon. Fun stuff going on there. Like I said, Monday, Wednesday, Friday here on the It's a Wonderful Podcast feed, which you can find on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Castbox, and a whole bunch of others. Or just on Twitter at It's a Wonderful One. Find me on Twitter at the Purple Don with a 3 instead of the E in the, because Janine.
3 is the magic number.
Janine, all your stuff is at where?
You can find me at Janine Devine on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want any merch for our shows or to check out any of my artwork, you can find that all at my TeePublic shop on teepublic.com at G9Design.
Yay! I think that's going to do it then for this episode of Janine Hasn't Seen. Yay! We've been talking the great, the outstanding Bugsy Malone from 1976. Not only one of my favourite musicals, but one of my favourite movies of all time. Janine?
Morgan.
Where do you put it in your list of musicals? Is it up there with Willy Wonka?
Maybe it would be. I think it would be in my top 10.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm going to be singing it all day. Yeah. Great. Love it. Anyway, there we go. Janine, I think there is only one thing left to do. Do you want to do it in an impression of someone from Bugsy Malone? Of your choice.
I don't think I could do that very well.
Fat Sam.
But, I mean, I could just do it.
Tallulah.
Like a gangster.
Could you do it in the angry voice of Fat Sam?
No, I don't think I could do that.
Could you do it in the sweet, smooth voice of Tallulah?
Probably not.
Could you do it in the... I don't know.
Yes.
Anyone.
Okay, looks like you put me on the spot now. Yeah, maybe I'll just do it like an old-timey gangster. Meow, meow.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Three, meow. Two, meow, meow. One, meow.
Bye. Din 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 din